From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Music, presenting the 101st Vespers. The seasonal music tradition returns December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lead Center. Tickets at lead.ku.edu.
It's 30 degrees in Lawrence, 34 in Emporia, 30 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies as well. They are all listed for you online at kansaspublicradio.org. Coming up, news headlines in just about 12 minutes. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we are going to get a very personal set of remembrances of the work of Tom Stoppard. The playwright died last week. Very well known for being a script doctor and a playwright. Just a really interesting writer. We will hear from Mary Louise Kelly and Bob Mondello. They'll tell us about their favorites. You didn't ask me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I love Arcadia. I love Arcadia. Ah. Whether you read it or see it, it's so good. If you haven't read Arcadia, read Arcadia. If you get a chance to see Arcadia, see Arcadia. We're going to talk about Tom Stoppard coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, devoted to improving the lives of Kansans, Americans, and people everywhere through discoveries in health, technology, the environment, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Unbiased local news has never been more essential. KPR endeavors to deliver the depth and clarity you have come to expect without the pressure of advertisers. But our federal funding is gone. That means we depend entirely on this community. Your year-end gift will keep us going strong in 2026. You can begin your monthly gift right now at kansaspublicradio.org. If you do, your gift will be matched at this time by the Harrison Family Fund of Douglas County Community Foundation. Your support today secures tomorrow's news. And if you can see your way clear to $15 a month, you also get a styly wooden Christmas tree ornament. It is 6:20.
Support. Some things getting cheaper because they have been for decades. Computers. Storing and processing information has gotten more efficient and more cost-effective over time.
The number of transistors incorporated in a chip will approximately double every 24 months.
But will that last? Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. Start off your day with the very latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio is your local host.
Support for KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting Irving Berlin's White Christmas, showing December 5th through December 21st. More details at theaterlawrence.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. We have news headlines coming your way in just about 35 seconds. It is 30 degrees in Lawrence and 30 in Manhattan. It's 6:30.
Our news.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. More Kansans will have access to comprehensive behavioral health care for mental health or substance use issues. Beck Shackelford Wanganga reports that the state has won a grant from the National Council for Mental Well-Being.
Kansas will split more than $72 million with Illinois and Michigan over the next 3 years. The money will support Kansas's 26 certified community behavioral health clinics, which serve children, families, adults, and veterans. According to a release from the Kansas Department for Aging and Disability Services, the clinics offer things like outpatient treatment for substance use disorder and mental health issues, crisis services, and resources for psychiatric rehabilitation. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford Wanganga.
Kansas State University announced today that football coach Chris Kleiman is stepping down. Greg Eklund has the details.
Chris Kleiman capped his seventh season as the Kansas State head coach with a home win last weekend over Colorado that gave him 54 career victories with the Wildcats, the second most in program history after the legendary Bill Snyder. This season, the Cats are bowl eligible with a 6-6 season. But for only the second time in his 7 years with K-State, the Cats failed to win at least 8 games. The only other time was during the COVID year in 2020. I'm Greg Eklund.
K-State Athletic Director Gene Taylor was asked at a press conference this afternoon about the replacement process. He said, quote, "It's going to be fast and it's going to be efficient." Longtime Kansas gay rights advocate Tom Witt has announced he is running for a seat in the Kansas Senate. Witt told the Kansas Reflector he has added his name to the list of candidates seeking to replace Mary Ware, a Wichita Democrat who resigned from the state Senate last month. Witt is the former executive director of Equality Kansas. Democratic precinct members will be choosing Ware's successor in a special nominating convention scheduled for tomorrow. State Representative Silas Miller and former Wichita Mayor Brandon Whipple are also being considered for the seat. Lows tonight around 10 degrees, highs tomorrow in the upper 20s. This is KPR, and it is 6:35.
Support for
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Hi, I'm Jeff Watson, host of Afternoon Classical Music. Take a moment to reflect on how classical music enriches your life, the solace in your mornings, the peace and focus throughout your day. This music that speaks to your soul is a vital part of our community. With federal funding gone, KPR now relies almost entirely on listener support. And this is your last chance this year to double your impact. Join now at kansaspublicradio.org, and your gift will be matched by the Harrison Family Fund of the Douglas County Community Foundation. Your support keeps this cherished music alive.
You can make your pledge right now online at kansaspublicradio.org. And thank you so much for your continued support of KPR. We have a lot to make up. Federal funding that we had relied on has permanently gone away. That's about $244,000 a year. So we are turning to you, our listeners, to try and make that up. Please give if you can at kansaspublicradio.org. Get your pledge matched right now, dollar for dollar. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 99.5 FM in Manhattan, and many other frequencies. They are listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org, where you can see video of performances from our live performance studio. You can see a rundown of the day's news, lots of great features. And, of course, become a member. Check it out when you have a moment. KansasPublicRadio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at PeasleyTech.org/PeasleyPromise.
It's 30 degrees on the KU campus in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
To exploring the world in comfort, offering small ship experiences with a shore excursion included in every port and programs designed for cultural enrichment. Learn more at viking.com. From the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. From 20th Century Studios with Ella McKay, a new comedy from James L. Brooks, starring Emma Mackey, Jamie Lee Curtis, with Albert Brooks and Woody Harrelson. Ella McKay, in theaters December 12th. And from listeners like you, who donate to this NPR station.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with Morning Edition from NPR News, where we ask questions you want answers to. Get context, clarity, and accountability every weekday from NPR News.
Tomorrow is a weekday. You can hear Morning Edition 5 to 9 a.m. tomorrow on your KPR stations. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1, Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, hosting Booker Prize finalist Patricia Lockwood in conversation with Wonder Fair owner Meredith Moore, December 11th at 7 p.m. More at ravenbookstore.com/events.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines coming up in just a moment, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. We know you value the news and music you hear every day, and perhaps you've even thought, hey, I should give to KPR. Well, now would be a good time to do that. The stakes have never been higher. I'm laughing, but, you know, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Federal funding is gone. The only way forward is with your help. As the year ends, put KPR in the category of things that truly matter. This is a public service. Listener support is the only way it stays available to everyone. We hope you'll help us out. Visit us at kansaspublicradio.org. Get your donation match dollar for dollar. Thank you for your support. The time is 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Federal agents launched a long-expected immigration enforcement sweep today in New Orleans. Immigration lawyers say they have been flooded with calls. It's the latest area targeted by the Trump administration's campaign to step up arrests and deportations of immigrants who don't have legal status in the country. NPR's Martin Costi has more.
Well, so far, the feds are promising something similar here. They say they're going after people who are in the country illegally and have committed crimes. And in New Orleans, they say that means looking for people with criminal histories who are let out of the local jail but not turned over to ICE. That's what the feds want local jails to do, turn those people over if they're in the country illegally. Trump has been highly critical of what he calls sanctuary policies, which he says protect criminals from being deported. But all that said, this operation probably won't focus only on criminals, because what we've seen in other operations, such as in Chicago, is that most of the people who were swept up on immigration violations did not have criminal records.
NPR's Martin Costi reporting. The House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed former Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith to testify at a deposition later this month. The Republican-led panel wants to question him about his investigations of President Trump. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports.
The House Judiciary Committee is subpoenaing Jack Smith to provide documents and to appear for a deposition on December 17th. The panel's Republican chairman, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, says in a letter that lawmakers believe Smith has information that is vital to its oversight of the Justice Department and Smith's investigations. Smith had previously offered to testify publicly before the committee. In a statement, his attorney, Peter Kosky, says Smith is disappointed the committee rejected that offer and instead has subpoenaed him for a closed-door deposition. Still, he says Smith looks forward to speaking with lawmakers to, quote, clarify the various misconceptions about his investigation. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says she'll announce an aid package next week for soybean and other commodity farmers. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports many are on the brink of bankruptcy due to inflation and President Trump's trade war.
Farmers have been ramping up the pressure on the White House after the harvest. Millions of tons of soybeans are sitting in bins across the Midwest, since China has been buying instead from Brazil amid a heated trade war. At the president's cabinet meeting, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins told Trump that next week she'll announce, quote, bridge payments to farmers to keep them afloat as trade negotiations continue.
For so long, our farmers, many of them have been farming for government checks instead of moving their product around the world. These trade deals change that forever.
The White House says China has committed to buying 12 million tons of soybeans this year. That's less than half of what they bought last year. Kirk Sigler, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt, through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org, this is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, December 3rd.
4, 3, 2, 1, ignition and liftoff of SOHO and the Atlas vehicle on an international mission of solar physics.
Generally speaking, staring at the sun nonstop for decades is a bad idea. But a spacecraft launched 30 years ago this week has done just that. It's told us about the sun's interior, its surface, and its extended outer atmosphere. That's helped scientists develop better forecasts of space weather, interactions between Sun and Earth that can have a big effect on our technology. The craft is called SOHO, Solar and Heliospheric Observatory. It was launched into an orbit around a point in space where the gravity of Earth and the Sun are balanced. From there, its view of the Sun is never blocked. SOHO watches the Sun in many different ways. It keeps a close eye on the Sun's magnetic field, which produces outbursts of energy and particles that can have an impact on Earth. That's revealed shock waves and tornadoes rippling across the Sun's surface. It's also revealed the source of the solar wind, a steady flow of charged particles that blows through the solar system. Some of SOHO's observations block out the Sun itself, showing the space around the Sun. That's allowed SOHO to discover more than 5,000 comets as they passed close to the Sun, many of which didn't survive. SOHO's mission is scheduled to end soon, closing this long working eye on the Sun. Stardate is made possible in part by the Friends of McDonald Observatory, information at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from Maselli's, now hosting events from 25 to 400 at an expanded downtown Lawrence location, offering both full-service wedding event planning and hosting as well as catering to weddings off-site. Venue information is online at maselli's.com. Prokofiev's Love for Three Oranges, the March, here on Kansas Public Radio with a local twist, Michael Stern and the Kansas City Symphony. Hi there, I am Destiny, and I hope you are all having a fabulous Wednesday. I am in one of those wacky moods. So oranges made me think of the color orange, and then I thought of other things that are orange, like mandarins, and then I thought, well, I should play Bartok's Miraculous Mandarin. Because, of course, that's how my brain works in about 20 minutes. Indeed. And I love being here with you. I thought maybe a little Gershwin would be good after some Prokofiev. Everyone loves his An American in Paris. So let's pretend that we're off to Paris right now with Andre Previn and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy on KPR.
Thank you. Gershwin's An American in Paris here on Kansas Public Radio. A little fun for our Wednesday evening. You know what else is fun? Our sponsors, because they keep us on the air. We love them. Indeed, we do. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Weaver's Department Store, 9th and Massachusetts in Lawrence. A community partner, Weaver's has served Eastern Kansas since 1857 with men's and women's apparel, cosmetics, and kitchen and gourmet housewares. Weaver's in downtown Lawrence. And the KU Natural History Museum. Membership at the museum includes reciprocal entry to over 200 museums and science centers across the country. Membership info available at biodiversity.ku.edu. Alrighty, I've got some miraculous things coming up. Even something miraculous after Bartok's Miraculous Mandarin. We're going to listen to that right now on Kansas Public Radio with Sir George Schulte and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Well, no one ever said that's not exciting here on KPR. Bartok's Miraculous Mandarin. Sir George Schulte and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Woo! I've got a Christmas-themed miracle coming up. Ooh, there was your hint. But I'd also like to point out our KPR community spotlight. I think those types of things are little miracles in our community, too. The spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, serving Douglas County and Northeast Kansas, offering residential and prevention services to at-risk children and families, as well as foster home support. Info at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org. Wow, as 2025 comes to a close, unbiased local news has never been more essential. And music. KPR delivers the depth and clarity you rely on without the pressure of advertisers. Just awesome sponsors. But with federal funding gone, we depend entirely on this community. Your year-end gift will keep trusted reporting strong in 2026 and this great music on the airwaves. Start your monthly gift now at kansaspublicradio.org, and your gift will be matched by the Harrison Family Fund of the Douglas County Community Foundation. Your support today secures tomorrow's future here at KPR. All right. From the Miraculous Mandarin to Miracle on 34th Street. Some feel-good music right now on KPR by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you.
sneak in a little movie music here on Kansas Public Radio, but it fits the theme of Christmas Miracle on 34th Street, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. I am Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me this hour. Perhaps you're out of the Christmas spirit. You just want some classical music. Well, next hour, I'm just going to play some good old classical music for you. I've got some of the famous tunes by Mozart and, oh, one of the greatest piano trios of all time by Beethoven. Guess what, everybody? I found a Beethoven action figure. Actually, I found it in Laura's office, and I got so excited that I went and searched it online, and of course, it was sold out everywhere. But wouldn't you know, I found one singular Beethoven action figure on eBay. It's coming in the mail. Today, tonight, tomorrow, anytime now. I'm very excited for it. You all know how much I love Beethoven. Did I tell you which trio we're listening to? The Archduke. Oh, it's so good, and it's so fun to play. If you know of any other classical music action figures or favorite things you'd like to hear, just go to kansaspublicradio.org/classics by request. I am getting music ready for my show on Saturday from 1 to 4. It's always fun hearing from you. NPR News up next, and then I'm right back on KPR.
You want to know what's going on in the world, not just the politics and breaking news, but the music, the art, the culture. Morning Edition from NPR News is here for all of it.
That is Miley Cyrus keeping the world on its toes. The new album.
That's Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They are in a new production.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, thanks for the time and congratulations on 10 years.
Start your weekday mornings with us and catch conversations you might not expect.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on Kansas Public Radio from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. For the second day in a row, President Trump denigrated Somali immigrants and the entire nation of Somalia. NPR's Mara Liasson reports those remarks got more personal today.
In the past, President Trump has often attacked Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, an American citizen who emigrated to the U.S. from Somalia as a child. But his recent comments have been harsh, even by Trump's standards. On Tuesday, he called Omar garbage, and now he says she should not be allowed to be a congresswoman.
I'm sure people are looking at that, and she should be thrown the hell out of our country.
Trump also attacked Somalia itself, saying it isn't even a nation. It's just a people walking around killing each other. Mara Liasson, NPR News, The White House.
50 years ago, Congress passed and President Gerald Ford signed the landmark law that created special education as we know it. NPR's Corey Turner reports on the impact of the Individuals with Disabilities Act, or IDEA.
In 1970, public schools educated just 1 in 5 children with a disability. Ed Martin, now 94, helped write the law that changed that.
There was one mother who told us a story about the school bus stopping at the foot of her driveway and her daughter standing in the window crying, saying, "Why can't I go with the other kids?"
IDEA requires schools to provide accommodations for kids with disabilities. The Trump administration has made cuts at the Department of Education, including staff who oversee IDEA, saying it wants to end bureaucracy and empower states. But critics warn federal oversight is an important safeguard for families who depend on the landmark law. Corey Turner, NPR News.
A doctor who supplied the drug ketamine to actor Matthew Perry in the weeks before his death has been sentenced to prison in Los Angeles. Steve Futterman reports.
Dr. Salvador Plasencia was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison, the judge accusing him of putting Matthew Perry on the road that eventually killed him. Before the sentencing, the court heard emotional statements from Perry's family. His mother, Suzanne Morrison, told Plasencia, "I want you to see his mother." She accused him of putting aside his oath to protect people in order to make money. When it was his turn to speak, Plasencia turned to address Perry's family and said, "I should have protected him." Plasencia, who pleaded guilty in July, was immediately taken into custody. Other defendants in the case are set to be sentenced in the next few weeks. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman at the Federal Courthouse in Los Angeles.
Tech billionaire Jared Isaacman is again being considered for NASA's top job. He was removed from consideration and then re-nominated by President Trump. He appeared before the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee today as NASA prepares to send astronauts back to the moon. You are listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Filling up your car with what goes down the drain? That's the hope of this graduate researcher at the University of Kansas.
My name is João Vitor Poli, and I'm a PhD candidate in chemical engineering here at KU. And I'm from Brazil, and I do research in waste-to-energy technologies such as hydrothermal liquefaction.
What is hydrothermal liquefaction, and what does it do?
Yes, so hydrothermal liquefaction is a thermochemical conversion technique that uses moderate temperatures and pressures to convert different types of waste into four valuable products. If you want to think about this as kind of like a pressure cooker, we input our feedstock and then we get four different products, which are the biocrude that can be transformed into transportation fuels, a biochar that is used as a fertilizer, an aqueous product, and a gas phase.
Applying this technique to wastewater is fairly new. Where is it currently being used?
So currently we have two main pilot scale plants in the world. One's being built in Canada, and we do have one in Denmark. And one of the biggest challenges of this is that not all wastewater treatment plants are the same. They operate differently, so applying a technology such as hydrothermal liquefaction becomes a challenge with that variability.
So you're trying to create a one-size-fits-all solution.
Yes, and that's what we're doing here in using Lawrence as a case study to evaluate these factors.
What are some economic benefits for Kansas?
So this research has real economic potential for Kansans. It could lower sludge disposal costs for municipalities, as well as create new markets for bio-based products like fertilizers and transportation fuels.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Thank you.
A little Mozart to open this hour here on KPR, his Rondo for violin and orchestra. Beautiful. Arthur Grumio with the London Symphony Orchestra conducted by Sir Colin Davis. I'm Destiny, and I am also a violinist, and I love playing that on the radio and on the violin. It's just so pretty and fun. One of your favorite pretty and fun things is Mozart's Rondo alla Turca. I have a really, really great version lined up at the very end of the hour. So don't go anywhere, okay? Because I've got some good stuff for us. We are having our quiet drive this week, as we call it. We are fundraising here on KPR, and we need your help. Every time you listen to KPR, you hear something you love. Besides my bad jokes, of course, timeless performances and the latest headlines. It's part of our cultural identity and yours as a music or news fan. Federal funding is gone, making listener support the only way this programming stays free and accessible to everyone. Please start a monthly gift now at kansaspublicradio.org, and your gift will be matched by the Harrison Family Fund of the Douglas County Community Foundation. Your commitment secures KPR's place in our community's future. 'Tis true. I want to be here a long time for you folks. Perhaps as long as Beethoven has been around. Piano Trio Number 7, The Archduke, a masterpiece. This is the Castle Trio here on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Castle Trio playing Beethoven's Piano Trio No. 7 here on KPR, the Archduke. This is 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, and many other great frequencies. I am so glad you are all here with me this evening. Thank you. Thank you for being here. That trio, epic. Epic is a pretty good word. I mentioned last hour that I found a Beethoven action figure on eBay. I'm so excited for it to come in the mail. It's an early Christmas gift to myself. I love Beethoven. All right. I also promised you a very interesting Mozart Rondo alla Turca. I did. Why is it interesting? Well, you've heard many different arrangements of it, but I do not know if you've heard a trumpet ensemble play it before. Here we go on KPR. I told you that was a good one. Here on KPR, Jeffrey Simon and the Trumpet Ensemble playing Mozart's Rondo alla Turca from one of his sonatas, K331, to be exact. What a fun arrangement. Ah, good music indeed. Well, I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me tonight. I will be back tomorrow with a really fun Tango Thursday special. I found something really neat for the holidays. NPR News up next and Jazz in the Night. See you soon on KPR.
You want to know what's going on in the world, not just the politics and breaking news, but the music, the art, the culture. Morning Edition from NPR News is here for all of it.
That is Miley Cyrus keeping the world on its toes. The new album.
That's Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter. They are in a new production.
Well, Lin-Manuel Miranda, thanks for the time and congratulations on tenure.
Start your weekday mornings with us and catch conversations you might not expect.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. And this is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansans and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Information about KU's research is at ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The federal government launched another immigration crackdown today, this time in New Orleans. NPR's Martin Costi reports that the Trump administration says it's targeting local sanctuary policies.
The Department of Homeland Security says the operation will target, quote, violent criminals who are released after arrest for home invasion, armed robbery, grand theft auto, and rape, unquote. But many foreign-born people here believe the dragnet will be wider, as it has been in other cities, and will include people who are in the country illegally but have not committed crimes. Many shops in a Latino part of the suburb of Kenner are now closed, and Ayman Abdel says people in the neighborhood are afraid to go out. Normally there would be a lot of cars, people coming and going, shopping and working, but right now there's nothing, he says. Martin Costi, NPR News, New Orleans.
The Trump administration is proposing to reset federal fuel economy standards for new cars, paving the way for automakers to sell more, less efficient gas-powered vehicles. Environmental groups say this will create more greenhouse gas pollution or emissions. NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports.
The Biden administration had set ambitious targets for new vehicles' gas mileage. Under President Trump, the federal government had already zeroed out the penalty for flunking those standards, making them toothless. Here's President Trump in the Oval Office.
These policies forced automakers to build cars using expensive technologies that drove up costs, drove up prices, and made the car much worse.
The change will boost the bottom line of automakers. Trump says it will also benefit drivers' budgets, although economic analyses have found that stringent standards actually save households money by requiring less gas. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
The father of the West Virginia National Guard member who remains hospitalized following last week's shooting in Washington, D.C., says his son is still in critical condition. He returned home to speak at a vigil tonight, as NPR's Giles Snyder reports.
A clearly emotional Jason Wolf spoke to a crowd gathered in the parking lot in front of the Berkeley County Sheriff's Office, saying his son, 24-year-old U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, has had a couple of small setbacks, but that he's pushing forward.
That's due to everyone here's prayers, support. Everyone in Washington, D.C. has been, the support's overwhelming.
The elder Wolf is a sheriff's deputy in Berkeley County. The crowd he spoke to appeared to be mostly from the region's first responder community. On Monday, Governor Patrick Morrissey said Andrew Wolf responded to a nurse with a thumbs up and was able to move his toes. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Martinsburg, West Virginia.
Delta Airlines says it lost an estimated $200 million during the government shutdown. CEO Ed Bastian says refunds increased and bookings slowed during the 43-day shutdown. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Israel says it will reopen the Rafah border crossing in the coming days, allowing Palestinians to leave Gaza and enter Egypt. The announcement raises hopes for thousands of sick and wounded people needing medical care, but Palestinians must obtain Israeli and Egyptian security approval to leave, and before allowing entry back into Gaza, Israel insists on the return of all hostages taken in Hamas's October 2023 attack. Colorado's mild and dry weather has delayed ski season and forced several resorts to push back their opening dates, but with feet of snow possible in the mountains in the coming week or so, more ski lifts will start to spin. Colorado Public Radio's Stina Sieg reports.
Three Colorado ski resorts are opening this week. all later than planned. Telluride, the most famous of the bunch, was supposed to open on Thanksgiving. Chance Kiso is an editor with the website On the Snow, which tracks snow conditions. He says at the ski areas that did open on time, some had only a few trails, or only one, open to guests.
And that's been hard for skiers. You can only do the same run so many times in a day.
With the coming snow, Kiso says much more terrain should be open across the mountains. For NPR News, I'm Stina Sieg in Grand Junction, Colorado.
A raccoon broke into a closed Virginia liquor store and drank alcohol over the weekend. An animal control officer says the thoroughly drunk raccoon was found passed out in the store's bathroom. The officers say the masked bandit sobered up after a few hours. Officials say they released him back into the wild. I'm Ryland Barton. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
pianist Ted Rosenthal kicking off KPR's Jazz in the Night with his version of Old Devil Moon, the music of Burton Lane. If you heard the lyrics in your head, well, those are written by the great Yip Harburg. And Ted Rosenthal's new album is called High Standards. We heard him with bassist Noriko Ueda and drummer Quincy Davis. I'm Bob McWilliams, and I sure appreciate you joining me this evening for Jazz in the Night. We've got some new albums here in the first part of this hour, and a bit from pianist Kenny Barron and from vibraphonist Mark Sherman. And up next, a new one from saxophonist Jerry Weldon. A little later in the hour, a great album on the old Strata East label by trumpeter Charles Tolliver. Jerry Weldon leading a sextet here. The Summit, recorded live in New Brunswick back in November of last year. And we're going to hear one of the tunes written by Jerry called Damon's Day on KPR. We'll be right back.